When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
Hello, Dolphin fans. Yes, that's right. We're back with yet another season of previews and reviews of your Miami Dolphins. Each week, we will discuss the upcoming game, analyzing the opponent, and then follow every game with a review show with all the highs and lows of the game. This season looks to be one of the most exciting seasons we have had in a good while, and we are really, truly excited to be there every step of the way. So please look for us and follow us wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Please feel free to leave comments after each show, as we truly appreciate any feedback. Now let's kick off this week's show. And it's another FinFans podcast. This evening I'm here with the Rigonis. How are you, Lewis?
Here we go, Dolphins. Here we go.
How are you, Chris?
I'm all right. It's playoff time. I don't want to dwell too much on what happened on Sunday night, but I've definitely had better days.
Well, we got to talk about Sunday night, but we're not going to talk about it for too long. Lewis, what were your impressions of that football game?
Winnable game, Mike. You know, Buffalo team, it's not as strong as they have been in the past few years, obviously. And they wind up 11-6, but, you know, it was kind of a struggle for them to get to that 11-6. It was a game similar to ours. You know, this is how they've been winning football games. They've been squeaking them out over the last couple of weeks. They did it against us. You know, this was a winnable football game. I felt that Tua had a below par game without a question of a doubt. He was off. No big plays when we needed him. The second half was miserable, and beyond two, I felt that the game plan on the offensive side was just absolutely horrible. I mean, I think, a very basic offense, sticking with the run, you know, throwing the ball over the middle to, you know, say a Smythe, or incorporating Claypool in as a slot guy on the opposite side of Smythe would have been a good strategy. You know, you have a dynamic player in Achan who touched the ball 11 times over the course of four quarters. And, you know, I think four or five of those touches were in the first quarter. And you go the rest of the game with not getting that guy the football. One target. I mean, you know, game plan, horrible. F in regard to coaching on the offensive side.
Let me ask you a question. What has Claypool done that makes you think he would be helpful in the slot?
You know, Mike, the size and the mismatches, and that's what you're looking for. You know, Buffalo has some backup linebackers in there. If anything, you get the two really good safeties that they have, maybe off the edges, so to speak, on our receivers. And what you want to do is you want to create mismatches. I mean, you know, Tyreek's going to get most of the attention with Waddle out of the game, right? They're going to have a guy right on him, a corner. And the safety, one of the safeties is at least going to cheat over there, right? So in that scenario, you know, if you've got Claypool on the field in the slot, you've got a mismatch. You know, with our running game and with the way we established the run early on, Buffalo had to have linebackers on the field. If they put, say, a nickel or a dime corner on Claypool, you got a mismatch there. And you can go either way. You know, I'm not saying he's a beast, but he's been productive over his NFL career, not of late. But I felt that regardless of whether you used him or maybe a Craycraft or a Berrios, anybody, and got them established and targeted a few times, I think it would have been beneficial to our defense. It was a lot, I mean, our offense. It was a lot of the same. And, you know, I personally give it, listen, 14 points when you had Hunt back and with the way the running game was going, that's an F, Mike, period. That's an F. I mean, this wasn't the Baltimore Raven defense. This wasn't the San Francisco 49er defense. This was a depleted Buffalo defense who actually lost another player or two over the course of this game. And, you know, they didn't challenge, especially in the second half. So, those are my thoughts on the game initially.
Chris, what were yours?
I feel a little bit different as far as the game plan, or at least about the first half. I thought the first half game plan was pretty much perfect. Like going into halftime, I felt like we were mixing up the run and the pass pretty well, and even the types of runs that we were calling. Like the counters, the counter pitch, that was working pretty well. That was working, and then we were going in between the tackle with Wilson, and that was working. I mean, we had 100 yards rushing in the first half, as far as I can remember, and I think Tua had like a 120 or something, and like we were moving the ball pretty well. We got two touchdowns, and then in the second half, it just, I mean, we had three rushing attempts for 7 yards.
It was just those numbers, huh?
Yeah, it's just weird. I mean, I don't really know what it seems like. What happens a lot is these teams make adjustments at halftime and yep. McDaniel just fails. I mean, he just wants to keep running the same play. And then as far as the rushing game goes, we get stopped.
You got to anticipate what the other team is going to try and do to stop you.
Exactly.
And then you've got to have something in mind that's going to make them pay for doing what they just did.
Yep. And once they stop that a couple times, then McDaniel, you know, just completely abandons the run and just gets pass happy. And Tua didn't make enough plays. Tyreek had a couple drops. The last interception that Tua threw, it was a really lazy route on Claypool's part, too. I mean, it just – I really don't know what I can point at is the issue with how the offense played in the second half, but it just wasn't good. I mean, the pass protection was probably the best thing about the whole night. I mean, Tua had time to throw time and time again. I don't think he got sacked, so it was just frustrating. But, I mean, man, the way the defense played, I mean, Wilkins ripping the ball out of Allen's hand on that strip sack was great. Eli Apple's goofy self catching the ball in the end zone and deciding to get up and try to run it out to get 5 yards. I mean, and then not you know what play pissed me off the most about that whole game was after Eli Apple gets smoked, which I don't know why he was one-on-one with Diggs with no safety help in the first place. But that same drive on the ball that got tipped, I forgot who tipped it, but the ball goes in the air, and you can see that Apple sees the ball. And not only does he not go for the ball.
I think it was Van Ginkle that tipped it.
Yeah, it was Van Ginkle that tipped it, but it's like not only did Eli Apple watch the ball go in the air, he didn't hit the receiver or try to play the ball. He just literally watched Sherfield catch it like he was a fan. And that to me just really blew my mind because It's like that's peewee football. You know what I'm saying? If that ball gets tipped, he could have obliterated the wide receiver. He could have pushed the wide receiver out if he did catch it so he didn't get 2 feet down, or he could have made a play on the ball.
What's the worst that can happen if you get a penalty, right?
Yeah, it just really – really blew my mind that play in particular.
I'm not sure he realized what actually took place because
I
it was
not.
Weird. The angle of the ball, I mean, Sheffield, at, you know, obviously tracked it. You know, he was watching the play. You know, he had his eyes on the quarterback. you know, when I saw it, you know, I don't think Apple even understood what the hell happened. The ball went. I mean, it was just, it was a lucky play. Let's be honest about it.
It really was. But from the replay, it looks like he's looking right at Sherfield. And if he sees that Sherfield's trying to make a play on the ball, you would think that he would at least try to make him like a move, like something. I just, not just watch him, you know, catch the ball. It was just weird. Well, but, I mean, that's just one of the handfuls of plays.
That's one of those plays you just got to give it up to them. That, you know, they made a great play.
Right. I mean, that's one of their touchdowns, and then they had a punt return for another touchdown. I mean,
oh, yeah, the punt return killed us. That was that. Once that happened, I didn't have too much faith.
No, that was it. That was the game right there.
And, you know, you can look at that, you know, the punt return. You've got a lot of injuries, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure Van Ginkle plays special teams. I'm not 100% sure, but I've seen him out there over the course of the year. Now, with us being so depleted and losing Phillips and Chubb, you know, we're in a situation now to where maybe he's not playing special teams. I don't know, but you can attribute that return to a lot of guys that really haven't been there over the course of the season being put in a position to where they're not, you know, they just haven't been doing it. We had injuries over the course of the game. So, you know, that happens in the fourth quarter, right? So you don't know what's going on in regard to who's where. I mean, Good was on the field once Baker broke his wrist. So he's out there playing, and then he's got to cover a punt. So maybe he's not, you know, he's chasing Josh Allen all over the field and tight ends, and then he's got to go out and cover a punt. I mean, all of these things factored in, and I'm not making excuses, but, you know, it was fortunate. You know, Buffalo was extremely fortunate in this game for a lot of reasons, you know, the injuries and so on and so forth. But, you know, Chris, you know, getting back to, you know, Mike's question and, you know, in regard to the coaching, yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, the first half, McDaniel did incorporate that counter pitch, you know, to where they usually pitch it left or pitch it right, and they were going the opposite direction with it. But past that, there was nothing. I mean, there was nothing else that we haven't seen in the game plan at all. And that thing worked for a bit because Buffalo was being over aggressive on it. And, you know, once they, you know, figured out what we were doing, you know, then they started just going the normal pitches, and they were still somewhat successful on it, but then they completely went away from the run. And unfortunately, you know, a half does not make a full game. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, okay, yeah, maybe we give them a decent grade for the first half, but overall, you know, when you look at the numbers in the second half and the game planning and the fact that Achan doesn't touch the ball for the rest of the game, and you can make a case to where he's probably our best player right now with Tyreek kind of limbering, you know, on that bad ankle or whatever it is he's dealing with. You know, that's ridiculous. You can't do that. I mean, if we're going to win this game this week, Achan's got to touch the ball a minimum of 20 times. He's your best player right now. And for him to not touch the ball for three quarters, you know, no more than six times is hideous. It's bad coaching. It's bad decision-making. And, you know, the result is a 21-14 loss, 14 points for our offense. So,
well, they had 19 rushes between Wilson and Achan. So,
yeah, but Mike, you know, look at the first quarter alone.
Oh, no, I know. I mean, there's no question they abandoned it in the second half. I mean, they had little success on the few runs that they did, and then they decided that they weren't running anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, that, you know, in those conditions, you know, with these teams, I don't think I want the Bills having the ball any more than I need them to. I would have been more prone to run.
Well, let me put it to you this way, Mike. I mean, you know, we had 19 rushes, right? Buffalo, yep, between Cook and Fournette and Johnson had 21.
Yep.
And then you throw Josh Allen's 15, yep, rushing attempts in. You know, that there's a big contrast
but
there.
But they had the ball for 38 minutes, which is, you know, part of that is why they had the ball for 38
absolutely
minutes.
Absolutely.
And the other part is we couldn't.
Yep. The ineptitude of our offense created a situation for Buffalo. And listen, you know, as bad as McDaniel was, in my opinion, Fangio was fantastic. You know, even when the guys started going down, They still held it together. I mean, they stopped them on fourth and a half a yard.
Yep.
They stopped them. I mean, a guy like Josh Allen, who's an incredibly strong guy, you know, very athletic. The Dolphin defense did what they had to do. They put our offense in a position. And, you know, if anything, you know, I know they come out and they script the initial drive, right? Or at least it seems that way.
Yeah, sure.
The first drive. You know, if McDaniel is a genius, you know, he's the so-called genius, should really have a scripted two-minute drill out there to where the running backs are involved in the flats and they're just moving the chains. We see teams do it week in and week out. And you just don't see the urgency. You don't see the fire into his eyes. You don't see the play calling that would be just, you know, Buffalo sitting back and then dumping a ball underneath and letting Achane or Wilson or whoever do their thing underneath. You just don't see it. So, you know, it's disappointing because, you know, this was a winnable football game as far as I'm concerned. It just was a little bit better coaching on the offensive side, and you probably squeaked this game out.
Or better coaching on the special teams side.
Yeah, exactly. I'd love to move on from this game. I mean, Mike, you know, what do you have anything, you know, that you want to add to this game?
You guys have pretty much covered it. I mean, you know, the coaching in this particular game left a little bit to be desired, you know. I think McDaniel sometimes is stubborn to a fault. But, you know, it's his offense. But his offense, you know, could only generate a couple of touchdowns. So if there is a positive to be taken from the game, it's that we only had four penalties. That's the only positive I can find.
And no sacks given up. You know, yep. You're going against a Kansas City defense that, you know, that's pretty doggone good. And, you know, with the addition of Hunt, you know, with him being back, it solidifies your offensive line. Armstead.
Before we get into the Chiefs, Lewis, let's take a break real quick.
Yep, you got it.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, we are back.
We're back.
So, Lewis, you wanted to talk about the Chiefs. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so the offensive line, you know, as I was talking before we went to the break, you know, with the addition of Hunt being back and the fact that Armstead stayed healthy now for, what, 3 weeks? It's remarkable, right? Let's hope he gets through this Kansas City game healthy. I mean, with those two guys back on the field, it really does give you, you know, some real solid offensive linemen to move some people around and run the ball. Austin Jackson, you know, he's been average all year. And then, you know, you've got Eichenberg at center, who's been below average. But listen, you know, he's playing a position he really hasn't ever played. And as far as I'm concerned, he's not a glaring problem out there, right? You don't see a guy constantly.
He gave up three hurries Sunday. I think you'll accept that.
Yeah, exactly. And no sacks. And no sacks.
Right.
Exactly. And the interior, you know, on the left side, you know, with Robert Jones or Lester Cotton is, you know, another situation where, you know, it's not what you'd like going into the playoffs. But again, you know, with those two key guys, you know, you've got a situation there to where you've got some playmakers there. So with all that being said, you know, we should be okay as far as, you know, the pass blocking and the run blocking. Listen, this is the best we're going to be, right? I mean, we've had injuries to Robert Jones. Lester Cotton's been hurt. We've got a ton of guys across that offensive line that have been hurt. So this is the best offensive line that we're possible, you know, that's possible for us at this point in the season. So that's not a bad thing. You know, if Waddle and Mostert both come back, you know, that's another, those are two more positives, especially Waddle. You know, Waddle's got to be out there simply because of the threat that he creates for their cornerbacks and the fact that, you know, he'll loosen the coverage on Tyreek Hill up on the opposite side. So, you know, he's a key, you know, and it's too early in the week for us to really know what the situation is on the offensive side, but I think it's trending towards both of those guys playing. And the offense at this point in the season is going to be about as good as it can be, right? We didn't have any major setbacks in last week's game in regard to the offense. So they're going to be at, you know, full strength right now. So they got to put points on the board.
On the defensive side, we had a lot of injuries, and therefore we had some signings. You want to talk about that, Chris?
Yep. So today we brought in Justin Houston, Bruce Irvin, and then Malik Reed, who I believe was on our practice squad earlier this year. We brought him back. I'm pretty sure Justin Houston and Bruce Irvin, we signed to our 53-man roster, and then Malik Reed joined our practice squad. So, I mean, I'm pretty hyped about the Houston move. He had 9.5 sacks last year, so he definitely still has something in the tank. Bruce Irvin was really good at one point in time. I'm not sure how much production he's going to bring, but he is a veteran, and he's been, I'm pretty sure, to the Super Bowl with the Seahawks. So it brings a different type of experience and mentality to that group. But, I mean, man, I mean, our edge rushers, we're getting. I mean, when we saw Melvin Ingram on that replay of him in coverage last week. I mean, that was
comical.
It really was. It's just, I mean,
it was like a bus trying to catch a race car, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Ogba hopefully will step up big, especially going against his former team. But, yep, those are the three guys that we brought in today. So let's just hope that they make a pretty big impact going forward.
Well, I got some bad news that neither of you mentioned, and they're projecting this to be the coldest Dolphin game in history, in our history.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, who does that play to, though, Mike? I mean, you know, when you look at...
It better play the running game.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's what you're going to see a lot of. And if Mostert's back, I mean, we got three capable guys. You know, Pacheco's a really, really good running back, but I mean, when you look at these teams, Mike, rushing-wise, Kansas City over the course of the year was ranked 19th. You know, the Dolphins, 6th, even with all the injuries across the offensive line. So I can sit here and tell you just by watching Kansas City football games and Dolphin football games, you know, they have a nice running game, but our running game is a better running game. You know, Mostert and Achane, I'll take over Hilaire and Pacheco any day of the week. So, you know, in that aspect, if it becomes, you know, a running situation, you got to like it. Now let's go to the defense, you know, in regard to Kansas City's rush defense. They're 7th in the league, and our Miami Dolphins are, well, actually the Dolphins are 7th. And Kansas City's 17th against the rush. So if it becomes a running game, you know, if these statistics, you know, if you look at these games, you know, look at these statistics, you know, it kind of favors us if it becomes somewhat of a running type football game, because in both aspects, our defense is ranked higher against the rush, and we're a better rushing football team on the offensive side. So I don't know how much that's going to come into play other than the fact that they're just not used to playing in that sort of weather. And, you know, fumbles and stuff like that always become an issue.
Yeah, the ball's harder. It's slippery, maybe wet, and it hurts a little bit when you get hit.
Yep. It hurts when those balls hit your hands.
Yep.
Maybe not so much from Tua's passes because they kind of like...
Yeah, they're just floaters.
They float right in perfectly.
Yep.
But, you know, when Mahomes is drilling those passes, Kansas City can't catch balls anyway. That could be even a bigger issue. So,
but on our side, Tyreek Hill is used to playing in that weather.
That is true. That is true. And Claypool played up in, I mean, not that he's going to get a lot of targets, but he played in Pittsburgh and Chicago over the last couple of years. So, you know, he's a guy that is somewhat used to the cold weather as well. You know, so you have a few players out there.
Berrios played in New York, so.
Berrios played in New York, but, you know, guys, you know, we'll talk about how you guys, I'm going to ask you guys how you think we're going to approach this game, you know, with our offense against their defense. But we all know that, you know, Tua's got to make plays in this football game. You know, he's got to make as many plays as Mahomes. If we're going to go up to Kansas City and win this football game, Tua's got to play much better than he has over the last couple of weeks.
The last 2 weeks were not good, but you know what? He could go up to Kansas City, have a decent game, and they could come out of there with a win.
I totally agree. I mean, this is not a strong team. So, I mean, this is not as strong a team as we've seen in years past. I'm not going to tell you that they're not a strong team because, you know, they're still a very, very good team. They're just not as good as they have been over the last, you know, 3-4 years, in my opinion. So I'm going to ask both of you guys, you know, how do you think our offense is going to approach going into this football game? Now, we've already played them once, and, you know, the offense, you know, was successful at times, but other times, you know, they kind of bogged down. So how do we attack their defense?
You hit it right on the head. I mean, I think the running game is going to be key, especially in these type of elements. If we can get Mostert back, I mean, I don't know if McDaniel's going to take this approach, but I run the ball at least 30 times. You know, I mean, we got, like you also just mentioned, we got Armstead, who's been playing for the last couple of weeks. We finally got Hunt back. So, I mean, this offensive line is healthier than it's been since the beginning of the season. So, I mean, I would – if we can kind of emulate what we did in that first half of last week's game, I mean, you saw it. When those rushing plays, the counter plays and all that were working, that started to open up the pass because then you can't play those two safeties super far back. So, I mean, he really has to come up with a great game plan and just find a way to just mix the run with the pass to where we're getting 4 or 5 yards, 6 yards every play. You know, I mean, I don't see a lot of huge, like, big plays throws down the field happening. But, I mean, who knows? But like you said, I mean, Tua's definitely going to have to come to play. Definitely better than he's been playing the last couple weeks. And we're going to need one or two of those deep touchdowns or big plays, whoever it comes from, whether it's Tyreek, Waddle, A-Chain, Mostert. Somebody has to step up because, I mean, other than Tua, I mean, there's no – A-Chain's the only guy that I can really say last game just came to play. And like you guys mentioned, I mean, he had 10 total touches. And I would say 8 of them were probably in the first half. So it's like –
Yeah, we got 4 or 5 in the first quarter, I believe.
I want to see some screens, just different creative things that will keep the defense on their toes. Because, like I said, I mean, it was so puzzling. Not to bring back the game again last week, but I mean, the first half, our offense looked great in that first half. You know, the game plan was good. The mixture of the run and the pass, like I already said, was good. And I mean, hopefully it's a lot of the same of that and not so much what we did in the second half.
That counter was designed to slow down Buffalo's rush, and it did that. You know, it was successful in doing that.
It did.
But eventually, you know, they pulled their guys up a little bit. It was a little tougher to run.
Hey, yep. Guys, just to clarify something, and, you know, I stumbled around a little bit in regard to these rankings. Kansas City's rush offense is 19th in the league, and their rush defense is 17th, okay?
Okay.
So, offense 19th, defense 17th. Our Miami Dolphins are sixth in the league rushing the football ranked, and the defense is 7th ranked. So on both sides of the football, again, you know, we're basically almost top 5 in both categories.
Yeah, but our defense is not the same defense that ranked there, you know?
Well, yeah, we weren't last week either. But, you know, again, Mike, you know, they went out. It's you still got Sealer and you still got Wilkins in the middle, and you've got, you know, some other guys that can play the run. I think that defensively, that is a strength of our football team, even with the guys being out. And I totally get what you're saying. I mean, without Chubb, and I mean, we haven't had Phillips for half a season now, right? And The run defense to me has just been, you know, top notch. Last week we lost Chubb against Buffalo, and Cooks just, you know, he didn't do much of anything. The run defense was still there. Now, obviously, we now lost Van Ginkle. He's a little undersized. You know, so some of these veteran guys that we brought in, I think you can get, they can definitely hurt us in the passing game. But, you know, for them to go out and understand what teams are trying to do running the football, I don't know if we're going to take a major step back, because those two guys in the middle control the line of scrimmage. They do it every week, and they do a great job of it. And then, you know, I can't say enough about Raekwon Davis as well. You know, he's done a pretty good job in there, Mike. You know, he's been asked to do a lot with all the other injuries. You know, they kind of move Wilkins outside at times, right?
Yes.
Across that defensive line, and he's playing sort of a nose tackle position. So, you know, obviously he's got something to do with the run defense as well, and they've done a pretty good job. So, you know, I like it in that aspect. I really do. You know, we'll see how this game all unfolds, but yeah, I like what Chris said in regard to, you know, mixing the passing game in and throwing a lot of screens in. I don't know how windy it's going to be. So I don't know how effective.
I don't think that's going to be a problem.
It's not. It's just going to be the fact that it's going to be extremely cold out. Yep. And, you know, Tyreek's going to have a little hair up his ass in regard to going up there and trying to, you know, make Kansas City look bad, right? I mean, listen, he's got to step up, guys. I mean, you know, we talked about Tua, you know, not playing well. You know, Tyreek hasn't been at the top of his game either the last few weeks. And, I mean, you know, when he's throwing the ball, I don't care if he's targeted, Mike, 12, 13 times. You know, if he drops one, great. But two, three drops, you know, and key drops on third downs, you can't have it. You got to make plays.
You got to be focused.
This is the playoffs. You got to go out, and not only do you have to catch balls, but you got to make great plays. Tua's got to make some great throws. Tyreek and if Waddle's on the field have to make great catches. That's how you win playoff football games, by players doing great things, you know.
Yeah.
Mahomes, you know he's going to bring it. He knows it's the playoffs now. He's going to take his game up a notch. Kelce, same thing. You know, so what do? You know, you go out there and you've got to match that. And our playmakers, including on the defensive side, guys like Ramsey, if he's challenged, they've got to make plays. And they haven't been doing it in these big games. All of our star players have been, our Pro Bowl players have been, non-existent. And that includes Armstead, Mike. He did not have a good game last week against Buffalo.
No, he did not.
He had a couple penalties, too.
Yeah, a couple big penalties that put us in a hole. He didn't do a great job. And against Baltimore, you know, he was very subpar. So, again, these are Pro Bowl players that got to step it up on that offensive side. And, you know, I like a game plan, as Chris talked about.
Well, not to make excuses for Armstead, but we don't know how healthy he is.
Yeah.
Mike, there is nobody on the field healthy at this time of the season.
Well, I understand that, but, you know, he's a big man.
Yeah, not only that, you know he's dealing with three or four different injuries, too. So, I mean, I give him credit for just being out there, because especially a guy who's made as much money as he's made and played as many years, I mean, he could have easily just been like, man, I ain't healthy. I'm going to pack it in and call it a season, but... I mean, I definitely respect him, and every time I hear him in the press conferences, he always says the right thing, and he seems like he's really a team-first guy. So that I definitely respect, and I appreciate him for being out
there. I do as well. I wish he was healthier more, but that's just the way it is.
I mean, we knew that, you know, when we signed him, that he never once played a – yep.
Listen, if we can get him through this play, we got to be happy that he's just out there at this point, because without him, you know, I just don't know on the offensive side, you know, what you're going to do. You know, I mean, the guys have stepped in, but this is a pretty good Kansas City football team that we're going up against defensively. And, you know, overall, they're 10th in the league. You know, so we've got to you know, go out there, and we've got to play some football. You know, we've got to go out there, and our guys have got to do what they're paid to do, and what, you know, they listen, when they put that Pro Bowl designation on them, they got to go out there and play like Pro Bowl players.
Absolutely.
And they have not They just have not been doing it. I mean, this Kansas City defense overall is second in the league, okay? This is a really good defense. Against the pass, they're fourth. So, you know, again, Chris, you know, I've said it three times now, you know, your opinion on what they should do this week and your thoughts on it are right on par. I mean, you've got to attack their rush defense, and you've got a shot here. Their pass defense, fourth in the league.
And yeah, they got studs. They got studs everywhere on the defense. I mean, Eichenberg and those two guards are going to have their hands full with Chris Jones.
Yes.
Nick Bolton, who did not play the last time we played them, is a freaking – I love watching. He's one of my favorite middle linebackers to watch. I mean, he's really good.
Well, not this week.
Yeah, exactly. Drew Tranquil, who they got from the Chargers, has actually played pretty well for them in that sub-linebacker position. Then I think we're going to see a lot of Legarius Sneed on Tyreek because that's their best corner.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good. Trent McDuffie, who's on the other side, I believe he's either a rookie or a second-year player. He's played really good. Justin Reed, their safety. I mean, I can go on and on, but, I mean, they really do have a solid defense, and I think establishing the run early is going to be huge, and it's going to give us an idea of how that game's going to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
Sneed's, based off of that.
Sneed's, he was limited in practice, and he's questionable. Now, when are we playing? Are we playing on Monday?
No, Saturday night.
Saturday night, yeah.
On Peacock.
So is there a game on Monday as well?
I don't think so. I think they're on Saturday and Sunday, but
yeah,
I
could have sworn that they also have a game on Monday, which I was shocked over, but
they want as many eyeballs on each game as possible.
It is
possible they have a Monday game. I don't know that they do, but
yeah,
I could see it.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, so on Saturday, we got the Browns and Texans at 1:30, then we play
game Monday
at 5 o'clock. I guess that's my West Coast time. And then Sunday we have the Bills and the Steelers at 10 a.m. my time. Yeah, 1 o'clock your guys' time. And then the Packers and Cowboys. The Packers and Cowboys, and then the Rams and the Lions is the night game. And then, yep, Monday night is Eagles and Bucks Tampa.
I'm in amazement that I think this is the second year in a row that they put football teams in a position to where whoever wins that football game is
at a disadvantage.
Is at a disadvantage. I mean,
like
they almost have to play Sunday, because if they schedule them for Saturday, that is an extremely short week. So let's say Tampa upsets Philadelphia, and then they got to go on the road on a short week, you know, after
playing San Francisco too on the other side of the country. That's interesting.
It's ridiculous. I mean, you talk about, and I think the players kind of spoke out about that as well, as to where, you know, how do you do this to football players that have to recoup 3-4 days later and play another football game? Keep in mind, this is a night game. It's not even a day game. So you're talking about finishing a game at 11 o'clock at night, right? And then, you know, if you're the visiting team, which Tampa is, right? Oh, no, Philadelphia, actually.
No, it's Philly.
Tampa's the home team. If Philly goes in and beats Tampa, they have to fly home, get home in the middle of the night, and then they have three days of practice, 4 days, and then they have to, you know, possibly go back on the road because they're a wild card team. I mean, it's ridiculous. All these games should be played Saturday and Sunday like they've done for 100 years. And like you said, Mike, it's all about the money. They're just trying to get as many eyes on as many different football games as possible.
And these TV networks want it that way because they're shelling out an awful lot of money to carry those games. So, you know, it's a win-win for the league and the stations, but it's not a win-win for the players and really the fans of the teams.
Yep, absolutely. So, anyway, it'll be interesting. I mean, I'm looking forward to all of the games. I think they're all going to be nip and tuck. Every single matchup is going to be interesting in its own way. But we got to go over to the we got to take another break here, Mike, right? And then we'll go over to the defensive side and how we're going to approach their Kansas City's offense.
Sounds like a plan. We'll be back in a minute. All right, we are back. So who's going to talk about the defense?
I'll go first.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
So I think we actually had a great game plan last time we played them. And it showed because they scored 14 points on offense, and then they had that one strip on Tyreek, and that was it. I mean, we completely shut him out in the second half. I think we see a lot of double teams on Kelce. And, I mean, maybe Jalen Ramsey shadowing Rashee Rice because that's their best receiver to take him out of the game, but maybe not. I mean, I don't. We'll see what Fangio comes up with. But, I mean, a lot
he'll
like last week.
Some, you know?
Yeah, a lot like last week, I think we see more blitzing than anything because especially now without Van Ginkle, I don't see how we're going to get to Mahomes with just four pass rushers. And Mahomes is, in my opinion, a 10 times better quarterback than Josh Allen, too. So if you give him that time, he's going to pick you apart.
10 times better?
Yeah, Mahomes ain't making those mistakes that Allen made last week and just in general. I mean, Allen leads the league in interceptions.
He has this year, Chris. I mean, he really, if you look at Mahomes and some of the, listen, he has 14 interceptions this year.
Yeah, I didn't realize he threw that much. But, I mean, it's playoff time. We all watch the quarterback series. We know how much Mahomes prepares for this type of stuff. And, I mean, it's we're going to really have to get to him. He doesn't like getting hit. We got to hit him early and just not let him get in a comfortable and get that crowd in Kansas City going. I mean, that's his biggest part of the game as anything. I mean, you know, Arrowhead's one of the hardest places to play in for opposing teams. And I think if we can get to him early and slow down, quiet that crowd down a little bit, I mean, you know, that's what we have to try to do. Because if you let them get in their groove early and get going and the crowd gets going, it's going to be tough, man. It really is. But
yeah, agreed. Absolutely.
Like I said, I mean, we have to blitz. You know, I'm not saying we have to blitz every single play, but we got to get to them. You know, double team Kelce, and they just don't really have a lot. I mean, we definitely can't let Pacheco get going too, because once he gets going, he's got super high motor. So I mean, the run shutting down the running game is most important thing, but just making Kelce a non-factor and kind of just doing what we did last time we play them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, getting back to Fangio, you know, Chris, you talked about, you know, in the first segment when we were reviewing the Buffalo game, the fact that Apple was covering Diggs, you know, even on that deep ball down the sideline. You know, Fangio tends to not do that. And I think it's a great strategy. You know, I would love to see against this offensive team. I mean, I'm not overly concerned with Scatling or Justin Watson, any of those type of players. When you look at them, Travis Kelce's been targeted 121 times and Rashee Rice 102 times. And then the next most targeted guy is Watson with 53. So there's a big drop off there. I mean, those are their two key guys in the passing game. If you take Kelce out of the picture and you do shadow Rice with Ramsey, I love that strategy. But, you know, is he going to do it is the question. You know, if you got Rashee Rice on Kahoo, out there, you know, you may have a little bit of a mismatch, or an Eli Apple, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, the guys that we need to worry about, we did, like you mentioned, we did a great job against them last time. Different personnel than what we're going to have this time, right? That could be a positive, you know, because we're going to have a completely different approach. Kansas City's going to look at the first game when they played us, and I don't think we did an awful lot of blitzing on Mahomes. We did a lot of basically shadowing him, you know, having two guys on the outside, making sure that he doesn't run for big yardage. You don't have the athletic guys like, I don't know if Phillips played in that game or not. Do you guys remember if he played in the first game?
I don't remember.
Think so.
I really don't remember, but you don't have the athleticism of a Chubb or a Van Ginkle on the field now. You've got some old guys, you know. Irvin's 36 years old. You know, it's going to be funny, you know, watching him and Melvin Ingram trying to run down
Mahomes.
You know,
it's not happening.
We got a better shot of Wilkins and Sealer doing it than them, you know. So, you know, it's going to be interesting how they approach this. You know, I think they're going to try and keep Mahomes in the pocket most of the night. and, you know, just try to send blitzes here and there, which I think they absolutely have to do to put a little bit of pressure on them. This is a very defensible offense as long as the run defense holds their own and they're not, you know, Wilkins and Sealer are not getting pushed around. As long as they can stop Pacheco from running the football and they keep putting Mahomes in passing situations, I think they're going to be very successful this week in slowing their offense down.
You do?
I sure do. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Mike, listen, we're depleted. I get it. But, you know, games are won across the line of scrimmage. And we have made, in my opinion, this is my opinion, I think we have the best tackle tandem in the league. I really do. I don't think there's a better tandem than Wilkins and Sealer. I just don't.
Salt and pepper.
Yep, salt and pepper. I'll take them.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'm not going to disagree with it, but I think our problems are behind them.
Yeah, our problems are behind them, Mike, but that's not a strength of Kansas City. I mean, yes, Kelsey, depending on, keep in mind, you know, we don't have Baker, who probably covered Kelsey a lot, or was at least part of covering him, one of the three guys that was around him on every play. So, you know, you're going to have Duke Riley against him. Brandon Jones, I don't mind, Mike. I mean, if they incorporate Brandon Jones in as another linebacker / safety or our nickel guy, I honestly don't mind that. I really don't. You know, what I don't want to see is Kahoo trying to cover Kelsey in the slot.
I don't want to talk about Kahoo because I'm not going to say nice things.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, you know,
I did not like the way he quit on those plays last week.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they got to step up.
Something you don't see from our defense, and I just didn't like to see it.
Yeah.
And not him in general either, which was weird. I mean, I know in that Buffalo game, the first time we played them, he got smoked. But after that, I mean, the next few weeks, he came out hitting. You know, he's really a high intensity player. And yeah, like you said, I mean, to see him quit on some of those plays last week, it sucked, man. But you know what? I mean, David Long, I just read today, actually a couple hours ago, that he played all 17 games for the first time in his career. And he led our team in tackles, which was 101 tackles.
Yep.
And that's the first time he's hit that milestone too.
That's cool.
As far as stopping the run, I mean, I think he's going to be a huge factor.
He always
is. As far as how our defense is. And how about how Brandon Jones was in the red zone last week, just shooting those gaps and hitting guys 5 yards in the backfield. I mean, like you said, I'd love to see him play like more of a sub linebacker position and just, you know, every other play or every three plays, just shoot the gap and try to hit Mahomes or Pacheco in the backfield or whoever. I think that's his strength, you know, that's his best ability. That's his best trait is blitzing. Blitzing.
Yep, and shooting the gaps and making tackles. I mean, we watched him over the course of that game make tackles, you know, around the field and nice hits. I mean, he blows it up. And you can very, you know, if you see Kansas City in a double tight end offense, you may very well see a lot of Brandon Jones on the field as well. If they come out with that personnel, you know, which I think they're going to do quite a bit of because of the conditions and how cold it is, you're going to see a lot of Noah Gray out there along with Kelsey. Double tight end sets trying to get Pacheco running. If, in fact, they do that and they do go with, say, you know, the two wide receiver sets, I think Brandon Jones is a great, great addition to have in there at that point if they are, in fact, going with that. And then, of course, if they pass out of those formations, you've got a guy that can match up against a guy like a Noah Gray. So I like that. I really do. I like the fact that, you know, he's played well. And, you know, Long, Mike, you know, you talked about the guys behind them. You know, Long's a key. You know, there's no question about that. I mean, the fact that he's still back there is a key. And Duke Riley has done an adequate job in relief of Baker. So, you know, up front.
Well, where Baker excels over Riley is in coverage.
Yes, 110%. And they're going to try and isolate Duke Riley. But again, you know, as Chris and I mentioned, you know, maybe instead of Duke Riley being on the field, you put a Brandon Jones in there, a guy that's a little bit bigger and capable of covering. I like that idea. I mean, if I'm Fangio, I'm seriously contemplating that, you know, and basically just bringing Baker up and having him, Elliott, and
I don't think Baker's playing.
Holland. I mean, him.
Brandon Jones.
Brandon Jones. All three of the safeties on the field at the same time. I think that'd be a nice addition there, and a nice strategy to defend Kansas City. I would like that. You know, Duke Riley, as you mentioned, Mike. I mean, he's a liability. Covering, and then this Channing Tindale. I mean, my goodness, wouldn't you love to see him come out and you know, play some football? You're going to have to depend on him. You're going to have to depend on Deshaun Hand. He's going to have to rotate in and out.
Hand has played well in spots. I don't think Tindale is going to be out there unless Fangio was forced to put him out there.
Well, I mean, right now, Mike, you know, you're so depleted at that linebacker position. I mean, honestly, I mean, you know, there's a good possibility he's going to get some playing time this week. He's never inactive, which is the interesting thing, right?
Yeah. He's never some special teams.
Yeah. He's never inactive. You know, he's been active all year long. Maybe it's about time we see him just running around and blowing people up, you know, and, oh, look at this, you know, out of nowhere. Here comes this kid we drafted, and he goes out and has a decent football game. So, you know, on the back end, you know, what's the situation with X-Man? It's more than likely he's out, right?
Yeah, I think they already ruled him out for this week.
Yeah, I have him as
unlikely. I listened to McDaniel's press conference, and he said it's not likely, but when it comes to Howard, he won't count anything out because of how he attacks rehab and how he practices.
He says the same thing about everybody.
Yeah.
You know, doing the best I can, you know.
Mike, we were trying to be positive, and you just brought it
right
back.
Yeah, but I also had some – I was going to get kind of negative again, just saying. Like, I really don't understand. I don't think that Cam Smith can be much worse than Apple is. I really don't. And it's like, Fangio and McDaniel obviously know more than us. Like you've said before, I know – we don't see these guys in practice, but I mean, man, would it be nice to see Cam Smith or somebody else instead of Apple in those situations? Because yeah, he did make the interception, but you know he's going to give up.
You remember
big plays.
Noah Igbinoghi?
I can guarantee you, Chris, that if Cam Smith was better, I mean, he's behind Needham on the depth chart.
Yeah,
I mean, so he's buried, and you know it and. You know, I don't want to get started on that guy that controls our draft picks, but this is the exact scenario that you need guys that you drafted. A guy like you just brought up Cam Smith. I brought up Tindale. This is the exact reason I have a problem with this guy, because these are guys that at this point in the season. Third, fourth round picks need to be your depth to where if you're in a position like this, your veterans get hurt. You got guys that step in and say, man, this Cam Smith, what a great second round draft pick he was. He filled in for Howard and we missed nothing in the process. You got a guy that's 8-9 years younger than him that steps on the football field and steps right in and you don't miss a beat. But instead, you got to rely on a veteran guy that you took off the scrap heap, and he's ahead of you, and a guy that just came off a serious injury that's ahead of a second-round draft pick. And this happens way too often. And this is the reason that, you know, we are where we are right now. You know, you depend on a ton of, veteran guys that are more than likely at some point going to get hurt. Your depth on your team has to come from draft picks, especially high draft picks. And year in and year out just doesn't happen. So, you know, this is the position we're in, Chris. You know, Eli Apple's our guy. Let's just hope he goes out there and kicks some ass. You know, he's got a lot of experience in playoff games and overall. So let's just hope he goes out there and he's able to cover a guy like a Justin Watson or the Chantling, whatever the hell his name is, the other clown that they have out there.
Valdez Scantling, yeah.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a fun game.
Mike, if I had a dollar for every time you said you're looking forward to the game.
Well, I'm trying to turn this back positive.
It is positive. No, we're all looking forward. If you're not looking forward to a playoff game as a Dolphin fan and you're sitting at home and just, exactly. Just crying the blues because we're injured, then you know what? You need to just call it a day.
Never know what's going to happen once they hit the field. That's all. I mean, we might think we know, but we don't know. Nobody knows. They've got to go out and do it.
There's two things that bug me more than anything, Mike, right? People that bitch and moan over the fact that people are bitch and moaning over a loss like we had in Buffalo. That's number one, right? Because, if you're not complaining and you're not hurt by the fact that your football team went out and lost a football game to an arch rival, division opponent, then
a team that's beaten you, 10 out of the last 12 times?
Yeah. I mean, if you can't express the way you feel and how down you are about something like that happened, then there's something wrong with you. And if you complain about people doing that, then there's something wrong with you. So that's number one. Number two.
Well, there's different attitudes, Lewis. Some people just think, hell, we'll get them next week. And they just turn their attention forward. They don't worry about the disappointment of the last loss.
Well, that is part number two, and thanks for, jumping the gun on me. You turn the page, okay? Yeah. And all of us, the three of us, are all very excited about this football game. I feel we have a fighting chance in this game. I know you guys do as well. And that's what you do. So you go from disappointment, you talk about it, you let it all out, and then you move on from it. The second thing that I hate, and I was getting to it, is people that just dwell all week long and just, there's no chance we've got this. We have no chance this week. Look at how many guys are out on injury. We got eight starters out now, blah, 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 and all this other bullshit. That's number two. So, you approach this, and we all do it. The three of us do this. We approach it with sadness and the fact that we lost a game and we basically, voice our opinion on why we did and we get it out of our system. And we've did it just in this show alone. And then we move on and we get positive about the oncoming week. And that's how you do it. And if I can give anybody out there advice that's listening to us, try to approach it the same way. You'll feel a lot better. You'll live a lot longer, and you'll live a more prosperous life. And that's the extent of it.
Yeah, you won't have as many bad Mondays. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Yeah, and it's funny speaking on that. Like, I was so discouraged and upset, and all this other stuff. And even today, I was like, you know what? Let me look up flights to KC. How much is this something that's reasonable that I could possibly do? And I looked it up and the flight alone was $500. So I was like, yep, out of the question.
Dude, if it was 53 cents, I wouldn't go.
Nah, and see, but that's what I'm saying. It's like,
I don't know.
For me to experience a playoff game in Arrowhead, 0-degree weather.
I would do it for those reasons.
I would go. Yeah. Absolutely.
If I was his age, I would do it. At my age, I ain't doing that.
Now, Chris, I would love to do it, but I'd be 110% more tempted to do it if we were healthy going into it. Because
For sure. But that's what I'm saying. Even under all the circumstances that we faced,
I think we
have a really good shot. And even when we do the predictions here in a second, I think we're going to win the game. But even with all of that, I mean, it just depends how much you love this team and you love the game. And for me, it's like, I'll go to any game I can that's in, without me breaking the bank and going broke, and not having a place to stay.
Yep, absolutely. I would love to do it too. Life gets in the way sometimes, everything that you've got going on and what you got going forward. But absolutely. Are you kidding me? I'd love to go to Kansas City and I'd wear my Dolphin gear and I wouldn't give a shit. You got to expect that you're going to get a lot of grief from being a Dolphin fan in the stadium. But you know what? You can take it. I can take it on the chin. I'm not worried about that. I think that fans As long as you're not obnoxious, and they're not obnoxious themselves like Buffalo fans are, they're a bunch of idiots. You know, the Jet fans are right behind that. But a lot of the teams in the NFL, I think, respect the fact that you walk into their stadium, and as long as you act, you know, accordingly, you know, they'll respect the fact that, say, look at these guys, man. They're in Dolphin gear. They come all the way up here. These are true fans. I respect that. You know, they come into a visiting field, you know, but this Buffalo Mafia bullshit and all that other kind of stuff, you know, I just don't like it. Oh, we're taking over the stadium. Kiss my ass.
I don't know if you heard or not, but outside the stadium after the game, there was a Buffalo Bills fan who was shot to death.
Oh, my God, really?
I did. Yeah. I read that this morning.
Yep.
Wow.
Evidently, there was some sort of confrontation, and somebody in a car stepped out and killed this person for whatever reason.
I did not know that. I honestly did not know that. I mean, when I made that comment, kiss my ass, it's in, you know.
I wasn't aware
of the fact. But, Mike, you know, this is the thing that I'm talking about, as long as you're respectful. You know, they come down and listen, me and you have been to a million Dolphin and Buffalo Bill Miami Dolphin football games in Miami.
And Jet games and Patriot games. You know.
Yeah, but the Buffalo fans are by far the worst. They're a bunch of idiots. And
I don't know. I would have said the Jet fans are worse, but.
Yeah, I mean.
It just depends.
It depends. I mean, you know, the Buffalo fans are somewhat cocky. Jet fans, they are, sure. Well, the Jet fans never have a reason to be cocky, and that's the difference that I see. You know, they're always on the, you know, on the.
But they talk shit anyway, you know.
Oh, they do, without a doubt. But, you know, you laugh at them. You know, the Bill fans get under your skin because they love to, you know, just constantly badger you and whatever. And, I mean, you know, everybody has a boiling point to where, okay, enough is enough, you know.
But never should it come to somebody pulling a gun.
No, absolutely not.
Someone. I don't care how boiling you are.
Absolutely not. You get out of Dodge and you call it a day and, you know, it pisses you off. But, you know, that's really sad to hear. It really is. And, you know.
The guy was 30 years old, you know. It's just stupid.
Yep, and there's a lot of drinking that goes on and, you know, a lot of stupidity. And, you know, that's the negative. You know, I don't mind going to a game. I mean, listen, you know, I go down, I drink beer. But, you know, act responsibly, just like anywhere else. You know, don't go over the top. I mean, we've seen it way too often, way too many times. And, you know, in the end, it's a football game, right?
Exactly. You
know, so, anyway.
All right,
so,
guys.
What do we got? No, we didn't predict yet, Mike. Don't be all right,
well,
guys.
Well, no, I was all right, guys. I need to take another break, and then we'll come back and give some final thoughts and predictions.
You got it.
We'll be right back. Okay, we are back. So who wants to start off with predictions?
I'll go first.
All right, Chris.
I don't think this is going to be a very high-scoring game, given the conditions and just the state of how both of the offenses have been playing as of late. I got us winning 24-21.
Interesting. Going to be tough kick in that weather.
Yeah, but, you know,
that's
we
one
got
field
Sanders.
Goal, Mike.
Yep.
Yeah, but we don't.
And a couple extra points, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you got to kick for
it. All right, I'll go 23-20, Mike. How about that? Well, I'll give him one missed extra point.
Okay. He's not missing any kicks. All right, let's get off of Sanders. He's the least of our worries.
No, he's had a good season.
Guys, I look at this game, right, and, you know, I talked about, you know, our run offense, our run defense, their run offense, their run defense. The edge they have.
Talk about coaches.
They have, well, yeah, I mean, you know, good point, Mike. And, you know, when you get to that, you can bring it up because, well, you already did, so the hell with it. You're right. I think coaching-wise, you've got a guy that's more than capable. The advantage we have –
and that's Mike, no knock on McDaniel. You know, Andy Reid's been there before, that's all.
Right.
Not only that, Spagnuolo's a great defensive coordinator.
He is.
Over there in KC, too.
But let's keep in mind, Mike, Andy Reid's going against – Fangio. Now it is a depleted Fangio, but he did a great job against Buffalo's offensive coordinator last week. So he's going up against Andy Reid, and the unexpected, Mike, is always a problem, right? You just don't know how they're going to approach it on defense.
Right.
if they're going to blitz a lot, if they're not going to blitz a lot, if they're going to just play a bend but don't break, let's play the run first type of defense. So you don't know that, okay? So, you know, as far as the advantage goes in regard to coaching, you know, Andy Reid over McDaniel as far as a head coach, yes. But as far as our coordinators against their coordinators, you know, McDaniel probably with the way he's coached of late, and against Spagnuolo, as Chris mentioned, you know, we may lack it there. But that's not what I was going to touch on. I was going to touch on, number one, it's a home field advantage, right? You know, you've got a Kansas City crowd that's going to be all Kansas City. There's going to be a handful of Dolphin fans in there. It's going to be, you know, majority Kansas City fans. That's the number one advantage. And the number two advantage is Mahomes. He's proven. He's been to Super Bowls. He's been to playoff games. He always rises to the occasion. Up to this point, Tua has not in big games. So those, in my opinion, are going to be the difference in the game. And as Chris mentioned, I think it's going to be a tight game, but I think we lose this game 2014, 2017, something to that effect. What do you got,
Mike? 2014, 2017. So you also expect a fairly low-scoring game.
I do. I don't think a lot of points are going to be scored on either side, Mike, even with our depleted defense. I think we have enough capable players, especially in the secondary, to keep this game very close.
Listen, Mahomes can throw the ball behind his back in that weather. So well, I'm not worried about Mahomes. The guy I'm worried about is Tua. So, right. I mean, if Tua can throw – if he can throw and throw with accuracy, then we've got a shot.
Yeah, hopefully they travel up to KC today or tomorrow and get acclimated with that weather. I mean, maybe – I mean, yeah, the game's on Saturday too, so you got to think that hopefully they're traveling tomorrow to get acclimated. I know Tua briefly in the offseason, his brother was playing up in Maryland, and he went up there to throw the ball around in the cold weather and stuff, but that ain't – 0 degrees in Kansas City, you know, it's a little bit different. We'll see. I mean, we kind of had the same idea last year when we played in Buffalo, that second game when it was snowing, and, you know, Tua looked all right in that game. I don't think that he had a bad game.
But
it wasn't
0 degrees.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Right, right.
You know, that's bitter cold. That's not just cold, that's bitter cold.
You know, and again, we thought we had no chance last year in the playoff game with
Thompson.
Skylar Thompson. So, and we were very competitive up till the end. I mean, we had a drive at the end that could have possibly knocked them out. So, you know, you just don't know. I mean, I think there's a lot more talent still on this field. And there's a lot to be said about that first game. You know, we played them nip and tuck, and I think we're still capable of doing that, you know, again this week. So, Mike, what's your score? Because you never gave it to us.
I haven't got to that yet.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about the game, and you want to be optimistic about it, but I really believe that between the coaching advantage slightly to KC and between the quarterback advantage, obviously, to KC, and the weather advantage to KC, I mean, I just can't find many advantages that work towards it in the Dolphins' favor. But regardless of all that, I do think it'll be a close game. But I think maybe lower score than you guys think. I'm thinking maybe 17-14.
Oh, okay.
Kansas City or Miami?
Kansas City.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. You know, I think that turnovers will absolutely make a difference in this football game, if there are, in fact, any. You know, if we turn the ball over a few times – and they don't, you know, you could see the game, you know, become a two-score game. But if it's nip and tuck and there's turnovers on both sides or no turnovers at all, I mean, you know, I think it's just going to be a really, really tight game. And, you know, maybe this is the game where Tua, you know, makes plays at the end and wins it, you know, rather than a guy like Mahomes. And that's all we, you know, that's all we can
hope for. That would be a good story.
That's all we can hope for.
That would be a good story.
Yes, it would.
Yeah.
So, all right. Is that a wrap?
Guys, that is a wrap.
Saturday night football. Woo-wee.
Let's just hope Collinsworth ain't calling this game.
Oh, my God. Please. No, it's on terrible. Peacock. He's not on Peacock, is he?
I didn't think anybody could be worse than
NBC,
Tony Romo. But
Peacock, right?
I don't know, and I think you might be right, Mike.
No, it is it is on Peacock exclusively.
All right, so you can look it up.
I'm not sure who the announcers are.
Oh, God.
Maybe it'll be Tirico and that crew.
If I have to listen, and I'm going to get rude here, if I have to listen to that asshole one more time this season, at you know, call a game, I mean, it's just his comments. I mean, I don't know how this guy still
has a job. How many times did he say, dude?
Oh, my God. And then, you know, he just, every single guy is just, every single play he has to talk up a guy. It's like, can you just shut up and let us watch the football game and let it develop? You know, I mean, it's like.
And it was the same guy the whole game, Josh Allen. Yeah. Whether he made a good play or not, it's like Tony Romo. Oh, my gosh, he threw that ball out of bounds. Great. What a great play. Like, all right, buddy.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, thanks for joining me this evening. Thanks for listening, everybody. And regardless of my prediction, let's go there and get a win. That would be fun. But until then, fins up, everybody.
Fins up, Dolphins. Let's get this playoff dub.
Fins up, Dolphins.
All right, Fin fans, that's today's show. I want to thank the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network and the Sports Social podcast network. Check out these sites, guys. They've got articles and podcasts, which I think you'll enjoy. All right. Until next week, be well and take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.